Cam Newton, but he's not toxic. There's other guys that are like that. There are plenty of divas in the National Football League at quarterback, at wide receiver, at cornerback. So the fact that he doesn't have a job is interesting. And maybe he wants to wait now. Maybe he's playing this so that there is some sympathy in the public, but wants to wait, like when Teddy Bridgewater went down with the Vikings a few years ago. Remember they scrambled and they traded for Sam Bradford, or when the Rams lost Trent Green, or you know, one of those. Maybe he's just kind of biding his time in the weeds to sort of swoop in and take a job with injury.
Well, we know one thing about Cam Newton: you're not getting more than $1 to $1.5 million.
I wouldn't think unless you get. I mean, a real desperate team, you know, a Super Bowl team that loses, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, or Seattle, who loses Russell Wilson, and they think they have a chance, or somebody like that that believes they're a Super Bowl team and gets desperate, maybe they throw a little more at you. But it's a weird story. It's weird to see him not. And I do think the coronavirus has played some role, but it should have played a role with Joe Flacco, too, coming off neck surgery.
Andy Dalton, 617-779-7937. Steve's up in Worcester. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing, man?
Great, great. Hey, what's wrong with just saying that Belichick is a great coach? He'd probably be a Hall of Fame coach. Brady is a great player. He probably would have been a Hall of Fame player. But when you put the two of them together, they're both the greatest of all time because of the different attributes that each of them have and how they could work together. That is how I would sum this whole thing up.
And you would be 100% accurate, Steve.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's in many ways, getting Belichick people and Brady people to agree on that is a little bit like getting, I don't know, the Republicans and the Democrats to agree on almost anything else in politics. It's a polarizing world, and it's just the reality. You're right. I would put a little different spin on it. I think there's a chance, had they never come together, neither of them would have been a Hall of Famer because of the early trajectories of their careers. And because they got together, they not only became Hall of Famers and Super Bowl champions, they became the GOATs together. But there's no doubt they needed each other.
But don't you agree, Steve? Hold on. Don't you agree, though, that ultimately, that let's be real, that Bill needed Brady more long term?
Yeah.
Brady initially needed Bill to believe in him, which he did. And then once Brady, you know what they always say, success is when preparation meets opportunity. When Drew Bledsoe got knocked out, Brady was ready. He was ready to go.
Yeah, and I think Brady, and this is why I don't think Brady's going to work that well with Aaron's. No matter what Brady says, Brady likes a disciplined system, a coach that's disciplined. Aaron's is just the opposite. Brady thrives on discipline and repetition and doing things right over and over again. And that's from Bill. Bill is that type of coach. And Bruce Aarons is not. So I'm questionable about that match.
Yeah, we're going to find out. But I don't know exactly what the new Tom Brady is either. I think, you know, you painted the old Tom Brady in a certain way. He's ebbed and flowed with his development over the years and what's important to him and how invested he is. And we'll see how that marriage works. But I think there is a question about if week three, they're 1-2 and Bruce Arians is still a little loosey-goosey, how will Tom react to that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And just remember this one thing. Joe Gibbs won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different journeyman quarterbacks.
He did.
Joe Theismann was the journeyman from
Mark Canada. Rippon and Doug Williams. I know.
Right, so tip your hat to Joe Gibbs.
No, he did. He did. 2 of them were strike-shortened seasons, but regardless.
Doesn't get enough credit.
No, he doesn't. He
That's impressive. That is really impressive.
Yeah.
And you look at some of the great teams he had. I want to say it was ESPN, might have been The Athletic, did the 50 most dominant teams of the last 50 years in the NFL, something like that. And there's a lot of Redskins teams in there, how good the Redskins were under Joe Gibbs. He does get glossed over a little bit, I think.
I think because he's become NASCAR. He did come back.
The comeback, I think, actually hurt him.
Think so?
I think the comeback.
They made the playoffs. They won a game in the playoffs.
But if you listen to, like, Fourier, who was in that room with Joe Gibbs, the game had kind of passed
him
by.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I'm sure it did. I mean, you come off and you go retro coach.
A little like Levy when he came back and was, like, old and the game had passed you by.
Yeah. So. Jim in Hopkinton is up next. What's up, Jim?
Yeah. You keep talking about race and Cam Newton, and I don't see it. I think it's money.
He says
he'll take a hometown discount, but he hasn't taken one, has he?
No, Jim.
Nope.
You're right.
It could be money, but I brought up race more for my partner than a general observation because he's brought that up for other considerations, and most people bring it up when there are black quarterbacks involved and the opportunities they get. But I'm sorry. Cam Newton's better than Joe Flacco. Can we agree on that?
I mean, Jim, is Cam Newton today, okay. Don't you think he's better than Gardner Minshew?
Cam Newton is better than Joe Flacco. So Cam Newton sitting in a room saying, that stiff Joe Flacco just got 1.5. I should be getting 4.5.
Well,
and they're saying no. It's money. It's not about race.
I understand that, but he might want to take a lesson in leverage at some point then from Mutt because...
thinks he has leverage.
He doesn't have leverage or a job.
No, he doesn't. And that's why Jim, his people, his PR publicist agent comes out and said, oh, he's willing to take a backup job. Well, yeah. But at this juncture, you better be willing, because if you don't, you're going to be in the CFL, pal, or the XFL, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Or he could get leverage when training camp opens and an ACL blows.
See,
or
that's
Tommy John blows.
See, that's the thing. We always, you know, we rely on constants, but a lot of people never account for variables. And you know as well as I do, in the preseason, some quarterback's going to go down. It always happens. It happened before the 2003 season when Michael Vick was on the front cover of Madden. He got mad and cursed, and he was done for the year. So, like,
maybe I shouldn't have used the term leverage. Maybe I should use the term ego. He's looking and saying, I'm an MVP.
Oh, he's definitely got ego. He definitely has ego. I'll tell you where I would sign if I were him. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, I've said that before.
Even if it's only 4 or 5 games, although Ben does seem to be ahead of schedule. We got these videos of him out throwing.
But I got to tell you, though, if he does that, I don't think Big Ben would be very happy. Because that's when you bring someone in. You're like, dude, you're saying that you're bringing in this guy to possibly vie for my job. I know, but like Ben went through all this rehab. He was out last year. I think you do that there. That's like Gardner Minshew. It's like you wear jorts. You got this porn stash. You try way too hard.
For
like
a mid-round pick, made it in college.
Right, you're like
you got lucky.
Yeah, you're trying too hard, like Jamel Hill and Michael Smith on the six. You're not. You're trying to ingratiate yourself as a local in Jacksonville. You're not good. Cam Newton to me, Jacksonville is perfect for him. And, you know, in that division, you go up against Phillip Rivers. You go up against Deshaun Watson.
Gives you relevancy as an organization.
Right.
Even if you're in on Gardner Minshew, he brings his own sort of marketing brand, right? So he makes you notable because you're the Jaguars. You struggle to be notable. You struggle to have a brand. If you bring in Cam, both your quarterbacks are interesting. If Gardner Minshew beats out Cam Newton in the preseason, that's good for your organization. You're young, marketable, mustache-wearing, jorts-wearing, sort of brand one. If not, well, you get Cam Newton, who is and has been a brand in and of himself since he was at Auburn, correct? He was a brand right out of college.
I covered him his first 4 years down in Carolina, and, I mean, he had Microsoft, Dannon Yogurt, Beats by Dre.
Right.
He had Under Armour, and then he had his own clothing line, which failed miserably in Bell clothing stores down south. What was it called? Oh, it was called Made, and that failed miserably. But it was like the one thing about Cam, but I mean, this is a guy who's, I just mentioned that, he's not that far removed from being an MVP, and he can't get arrested right now in the NFL. Nobody will touch this guy, and it's amazing to me, and I don't think it's going to be Jacksonville. I think it's going to be some team out of the blue, maybe not even Pittsburgh. It'll be some team that you're like, huh? And they'll just say, hey, bring him in. Like, right. Maybe, like, this team doesn't need a quarterback, but why not if you're the Minnesota Vikings as a backup? Why not? For Kirk Cousins? Yeah. I mean, just, like, because you're there. Minnesota's on that verge of winning a Super Bowl. They're there.
They'd like to think so. They're a talented NFC contender.
They're right. Now, I know they lost Diggs, but that's fine. They got Thielen. They've got Dalvin Cook. They're stacked. They're really good. Kyle Rudolph. They're really good. But I just don't see it. With a guy like Cam Newton, the fact that he's still out there, and I don't even like him, but I'm like, it's crazy. 617-779-7937. Andy Hart said something that is sort of made an had an impact of something you said earlier.
Uh-oh.
That might have changed my mind. We'll get to that next.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Realizing my potential has been what my career has been all about. Things that I've dreamed about have actually come true. It's been, just a complete evolution. How I just kept kind of fighting and clawing to continue to power forward.
You know how hard it was to go to Michigan and be a quarterback at the greatest academic and athletic institution in America, maybe? And then how hard it was to be drafted, and how hard it was to be promoted to the backup quarterback in your second season behind Drew Bledsoe, and then how hard it was to be thrown in as a starter in your second game in your second season and then win a Super Bowl. Like, what was hard? Not have less interest. A Tom Brady-produced documentary about Tom Brady talking about how great Tom Brady is and how much he's overcome.
I am the fire.
There are a few things I have less interest in. When you put it that way, I'm starting to see why people paint me as a Brady hater.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I think the fact that it's a 9-part documentary, he's still playing, it's ill-timed, much like his new supplement from TB12 Protect.
Yes.
That sells for $45 for a 30-day supply. And sort of claiming that, without saying it, but...
Oh, that's on you. You're interpreting it. It didn't say anything. That's your interpretation that it could have some ties to the coronavirus pandemic. He never said that. He never really alluded to that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Whatever may come your way.
Fair enough.
In this world we live in.
But for me, Tom Brady, I got to tell you, I'm not as high on this as I was, because I was thinking...
I'm so proud of myself for talking you out of this.
I still will watch.
I'll watch it too, because we have to. It's what we do.
You know what I mean? I'll watch, and I'll, you know, whether I like it or not, will remains to be seen. But it's an ego project, just like the Julian Edelman one. It's an ego project.
Right.
That's all it was. It's just a complete ego project, and you know as well as I do that this thing, he just want to do something right now where it is going to make him look so great, and I think while you're still playing the game, to come out with a 9-part documentary, that's a lot. It's one thing's like, hey, 2-part documentary, okay, fine, 9? Like, you expect us to invest 9? I mean, right now, during Corona, the best thing that happened during Corona was The Last Dance. Because we got a chance to see it.
And Brady already did a 6-part, right? Wasn't Tom versus Time 6-part?
Yeah, but that was on Facebook, and it wasn't like, this ESPN.
This is a second, so now we're 15 episodes into your little self-serving documentaries here.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I didn't know you were a diva quarterback. I didn't know you were the long-lost Kardashian brother, and we had to document every step you took along every day in every way. But he is who he is. He is who he has been. He is who he is now. And those two things are not the same, correct?
No. Okay, no, he's changed. And I want to ask this out there for everybody out there. Have you perhaps might have lost some respect for Tom Brady over, well, not just over the last few months because he left to go to Tampa, but just over the last few years? He's been very brand conscious. He was never about that before. And I believe Alex Guerrero and him launched this about 11, 12 years ago, TB12 around that time. But really, he's amped up over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. It's been TB12 in your face all the time.
Right. Books and the social media ramping up and all of that. 100%. He is a brand. TB12 is a brand. But as you said, it's not overly successful.
No.
It's okay.
I heard that the store on Newberry Street, that that place over there is hurting.
Right. But they'll open one up, and I don't know if they have already or they will, in Tampa, and they'll have a new fan base that'll probably, you know, be interested for a while, and there'll be an uptick in his sales down there, but there's going to be a downtick in people ordering here, because I've talked about it with Mutt. Pretty much everything you get from Tom Brady, you can get anywhere else. GNC or online,
sure. Yep.
It's just you're going to pay significantly more with Tom Brady, whether it's the supplements, whether it's the bands or the vibrating roller or the ball, or all of it is nothing new, nothing extraordinary. The only things that are extraordinary are the things that aren't real, like you drink a lot of water and you won't get a sunburn, or drink this water and you won't get a concussion. We'll distance yourselves from those. But if it's just protein or electrolytes or immune system supplements, those are all readily available. Go to GNC, go to the internet, just Google. You can find varying costs, varying qualities. Might be American made, might come from China, where you might get a little real steroids mixed in. You never know what you're going to get. You may fail a drug test. But there's nothing special about the TB12 except him, the brand. It's him. That's the special part. And when you were a Patriots fan, I think people paid the premium. Yeah, I want the Brady t-shirt and hat and supplements and whey protein and, you know, I'll be cool. I'll be the cool kid who has the cool stuff. Well, he's gone now, so he's not cool anymore.
Yeah, and you can see the disparity, too. I mean, when, you know, Brady's often referred to as the GOAT, justifiably so. I've called him that many a time. But there's no even, it's not even remotely close to him and Michael Jordan. Nobody's close to Michael. But, like, Brady's brand is, I don't know. I like, it's TB12, and he markets it, and he wears his t-shirts and its hats and all that stuff. But I don't, it hasn't resonated the way that, you know, like other players, you know, brands. Like Brady's got to deal with Under Armour as well, just like Steph Curry. You know, it just, Brady's a great football player. He's not a global icon that when you go to Japan or you go to Germany or anywhere out like Spain and it's like, oh yeah, Tom Brady, TB12. Sure, I know about TB12. You know, you'd have to explain it to him. You just say Air Jordan, it's universal.
How cool is Brady?
And
I don't know how to define cool. Like, I'll be the first to admit I am not cool, I mean, so therefore don't take my advice on cool.
He's suave, but he's not, like, Michael cool.
Right. Like, the whole, dream team and traveling when the Bulls played somewhere in Europe, like, that it was just chaos. It was the Beatles. It was Michael Jackson. Remember when he would, like, go to a hotel room and just be, like, out the window and, like, people would faint in the streets beneath him? Brady doesn't have that.
Well, how about this? When we were talking about The Last Dance and how cool and how big is Michael, how about after you should have retired, winning your repeat three-peat in 98 against the Jazz, who's waiting outside for you at the time? And he still is. The biggest star in Hollywood, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Hey, Michael, that was poetic. That was great. Like a groupie, Leo is waiting outside your locker room just to tell you how great you are. He's like, oh, I watched that movie, The Man with the Iron Face. They go, oh, Iron Mask. Yeah, Iron Mask. Yeah, whatever that was. it's like, you know, and I'm
now,
sure.
Brady did steal DiCaprio's woman.
Was it, she was with Leo?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, Leo's been with a lot of women.
Well, that's okay.
No. That's, hey, I'm not hating. Hey, listen, man. You know, if you smoke him,
smoke him while you got him.
Yeah, smoke him while. Listen, Leo, he's got it like that. Leo is, you know, it is what it is. But I didn't know that. At least I forgot that. Did not know.
Hopefully it's true.
Wow. Oh. Well, and she stole Bridget's bow, too, because Bridget, you know, they were coming off that. 617-779-7937. Our main man, Ralph in Cranston. What's up, Ralphie?
Morning, guys.
Hey, good morning to you. How are you, Ralph?
My favorite show in the world.
Thank you.
Anywho, listen, you know, this Patriot team, I mean, with Chung's coming back, we see that. I just wish they would let us know, are you rebuilding or are you really making moves to try to, you know, win your division again next year? I don't know where he's going with this. To me, I would love to have seen a complete rebuild. But, you know, Chung's going to be 33, too, and, you know, now, okay, let's bring – maybe you could have got rid of him, too. But, you know, what I really wanted to tell you guys, especially with the Michael Jordan basketball stuff going on, now, Phyllis George died this week. You guys know the story with Phyllis George?
Yes. Yep.
All right. You remember when she marries John Y. Brown and he bought the Celtics? You remember that?
She married who?
She marries John Y. Brown. She marries this very wealthy guy who ended up becoming the governor of Kentucky, too. But she married this guy.
Now, yes. Oh, she married. Now, this guy was separate from the governor of Kentucky, obviously.
Well, yeah, but he became the playing checkers. So he puts the Celtics in a position. It was a down year. I think it was in the 70s. He gets three top 10 picks in the draft. And the draft back then was everything. I don't even think there was free agency back then. So the draft was everything. That's how you built the team. So Red goes out and gets three top 10 choices. Now, Phyllis George, and she was a great sportscaster. People really liked her. She was a pretty girl. She was a former Miss America. So one thing leads to another. She said, you know, I like Bob McAdoo, to her husband. Her husband goes, oh, you like him, honey? You know, he wasn't really a sports guy, John Y. Brown. So one thing led to another. Behind our back's back, he trades those three picks for Bob McAdoo, who Auerbach could not stand Mac, even though he was a scoring machine.
Yeah, I don't remember. Then McAdoo played here with the Celtics?
Oh, yeah, for a year or two.
Oh,
and
wow.
He clashed as soon as he came there. Collins became the coach at that point.
Okay.
And Dave Collins was appointed coach because he wanted to, you know, say, let's charge this up, Dave. Let's see if you can do what Russell did before you. He became a player coach. and he clashed right away. Oh, they hated him here. They hated McAdoo here, and McAdoo wanted the ball all the time. If you talked about who won the game, McAdoo wanted to go back to how many points he scored. And right. Fred was so upset. When you hear he almost went to the Knicks, we've heard that. He gets in a cab one day. It's a funny story. And he goes, okay, take me to the airport. And the guy's all thrilled that he's got Red Auerbach of the Celtics in the cabin. And he goes, well, what are you doing? I'm leaving this goddamn, because Red was up. He'd talk to anybody. And he said, I am going to the Knicks. He had an appointment with, I think it was Sonny Werblin, offered him a ton of money to now come to the Knicks and take the franchise over. The cab driver goes to him, do you know how you're loved here? Do you know how we'll miss you? So Auerbach said, stop the cab. Let me get out. And he goes to John Y. Brown, you sell this goddamn team. I want you to sell it now or I'm leaving. Brown ended up selling the team. And Red was so upset that he lost those three draft picks. It took him 2 years to get over it.
Wow.
But that is the Phyllis George story.
Oh, wow. The one thing I knew about Phyllis George was I saw the Jimmy the Greek 30 for 30. And he was really hard on her, like on the air and off the air. He was a bully.
I can see that.
Like he just dismissed her. And he sort of like, and I think he would rag on her husband, the governor of Kentucky.
Right.
Like Jimmy the Greek.
So I looked it up. 78-79. Bob McAdoo, Boston Celtics.
I never knew that.
I didn't either. It was only 20 games. That's part of why you didn't know that.
Okay.
And 78-79, he played for the Knicks and the Celtics. So it was 40 games with the Knicks, 20 games with the Celtics. He scored about 21 points a game for the Celtics, played 31 minutes a game for the Celtics.
Because I remember he was on the Lakers teams in the 80s that faced the Celtics.
Yeah, the Lakers from 81-82 to 84-85. And
right.
He finished up with the 76ers.
Okay. I remember him being on the Lakers. That's the only thing I
he scored 30-plus points per game for the first 3 years with Buffalo.
Jesus.
34.5 points per game in 1974-75.
Not bad.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I did not know he played for this. That's you know what that's like? That's like in the future when people say, you know, when Shaq was on the Celtics and people
and
be
like huh?
What?
Really?
He played for the Celtics?
Well, a lot of people don't know this either. Akeem Olajuwon ended his career with Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
Like Akeem on Toronto. Like you don't even, like what? How did that happen? It happened. All right, hour three coming back next, 617-779-7937. You want to get into Tom Brady. He's coming out with a 9-part documentary. Are you sick of it? Are you sick of him? I asked the question. Andy Hart is, I got to admit, I'm not as, at first, because I thought it was going to be Last Dance-esque. Now I'm realizing it's not.
No.
It's going to be
an infomercial for Tom Brady and the TB12 experience.
That's all it's going to be. It's going to be a complete vanity project. So we'll get to that, as well as the NHL is, the Players Association said, we're ready to come back. What's taking baseball and the NBA so long? Here's a text from the text line. I'm not saying this. Leo dumped Giselle because she was old and wanted to settle down. He was having none of that.
Okay.
So
I'm not pretending I know the
intimate
details of their relationship.
I forgot they were even together, but
I believe they were. It was one after another. She was with Leo, and then shortly thereafter, she was with Brady.
The only thing I remember is that when John Tomasi was still here at WEI, he told me a story that she was the one who pursued Tom Brady.
Yes.
She waited. Her and her friend went to San Diego, mm-hmm. and the Patriots played the Chargers in like 06.
Mm-hmm.
And she pursued Tom Brady. She waited for him outside the locker room the way Leo did for Jordan.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Oh, yeah.
I
remember seeing her in the tunnel waiting outside the locker room in a jersey. I'm assuming it was a Brady jersey, where it looked like that's all she had on.
You know what's
remember the old picture of Gronk with the porn star,
yeah.
Phoebe Jones?
Yeah.
That's what she looked like, but in the tunnel. It looked like she was just wearing a jersey. I'm sure she had some short shorts or something underneath.
Sure,
but I
sure.
remember that.
You know, it's amazing when you're that. You get groupies or fans that look like that. I get bald white stalkers.
I get a beautiful wife to go home to.
No, I know. But what I'm saying, it's nice when you're
Brady. She might be listening.
And Victoria's Secret supermodel waiting in the tunnel for you.
Yeah, you know, well, Tom Brady is on a different level than most of us. He's had a tough life. He's overcome a lot of things to get to where he is.
Hey.
But he's on a different level.
You know what I want to hear about? How tough it was to overcome going from Bridget Moynihan to Giselle.
Right.
That had to be a tough transition.
TV star to one Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Yeah, that had to be tough.
It's been a lot of challenges over there.
And then don't forget, in the early days, you might have forgot
Tara
this
Reed.
One. Yeah, oh, yes.
Bad boob job, Tara Reed, dancing at tables.
Right, after Shockey had her.
That was more of Brady's, you know, chugging beer phase, hey, have fun.
I have a 30 for 30 idea coming up. Geez, we'll get to this coming
this
up.
Again?
No, not now. Not now. No, I have a 30 for
get
30.
Get your damn cues right.
No.
You
we don't need any
shot,
cues.
One
No. I'm not even going to need the music, but we're going to get to this. A great 30 for 30 idea, and I think it would be amazing. I don't know if it could be done, but we'll get to that coming up next. Mark and Hart.